Would you take the Word of God this morning and turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. You can be seated there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Last week we started our series on the family of precious faith, like precious faith, as it says there in verse number 1 of chapter 1. In 2 Peter, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. We talked about faith that we are saved through. We are saved by Jesus Christ through faith, the Bible says. And so we're thankful for that that avenue. If you are going to be saved, the Bible says, of course, you're saved through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says the happening inside of us that allows us to see Jesus Christ for who He is, and for ourselves to see ourselves for who we are, is that vehicle of faith. And faith is, the Bible says, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so this faith that we have is like the grain of a mustard seed, the Bible says, like the faith of a child when we're saved. We simply believe that we're a sinner. We simply believe that we deserve to go to hell. We simply believe that if we got what we were to pay for, it would be perishing forever and ever. That would be the wages of our sin. We simply believe that Jesus Christ, the reason He came was to live a perfect life and to become sin for us on the cross. We simply believe that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Didn't just die, He died for us, the Bible says. And so if we simply believe those things, and simply believe that if we'll have faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, have faith to remove ourselves and ask Jesus Christ to save us and to take us to heaven when we die, we believe by faith that we can be saved and that Jesus Christ will take us to heaven when we die. We believe that. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's the grace of God. It's through the faith that God has given us to have in His Son, Jesus Christ. It is by Jesus Christ shed blood on the cross. We said once we are saved, we are handed, whether we understand that or whether we comprehend all that, we are handed something the Bible calls the faith. And it commands God's people that are in God's church to earnestly contend for the faith. That simply means that you and I are not supposed to be sitting back about our faith. We're not supposed to be treating the Word of God as it's nonchalant, that it's not important. The greatest thing that God's done for us is provided a way to heaven for salvation. The next greatest thing that God did was give us His Word from heaven to earth. And so that we don't have to make up what we believe. We don't have to make up what we think. We trust that God has given us His not only inspired Word, but the Bible says He preserved it for us. So He'll preserve it in the Japanese language. He'll preserve it in the English language. He'll preserve it in the Spanish language. He'll preserve it in the Arabic language. Why? So that people can know Jesus Christ, not only to make them wise unto salvation, but the Bible also says the Scriptures have been given us to give us our doctrine, what to believe. That's given us, reproves us. The Bible says it corrects us. And then it also gives us the instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, that we can be thoroughly, all the way through us, from our head to our toes, from everything we believe, we can have a set of the faith. It's a set of doctrines, a set of beliefs, a set of practices, a set of understandings, a set of principles, a set of standards. That we're not out in the world just trying to figure it out somehow, but we are been handed a heritage. We've been handed something that is precious, and it is the faith. And the Bible says, how do we live that out? Well, we live that out through the same faith. What do we believe what we're doing? Do we believe in what we're doing? Why are we here today? I believe it's because God's people have faith that they're doing the right thing, that this is the right thing to do. I mean, if you don't believe that, then you might believe that the Islam people, the Muslim people have the answer. That Allah, as it came out in the news this week, so one preacher calls himself a preacher, said that Allah and God are the same person. The only way you would believe that is if you're not having faith in what we have. If if this can change and that's up for a debate and that can change and this can change and you can think that if you want. It's not a big deal if you do that. You can practice this. You can go over here. You can believe that. You can believe that babies aren't human inside the womb. You can believe that people can just identify with a different gender. You can just believe that that life isn't important after a certain age. All these things that people are coming up with as their belief system does not come from the Word of God. Because we have a set of beliefs. And we have what God has told us to believe. And the reason we will live that out, and the reason we will be able to make a difference, is if we have treated like a precious faith. The Bible says that we have obtained this precious faith, this precious cargo, this precious treasure that God has given us. And it is simply called faith. It is something that it is a divine assurance that God has all things under control. That if we'll live this book, if we'll do what this book says, and we'll listen to God, and we'll listen to the preaching, and we'll listen to His Word, if we believe those things, and we have faith in that thing that we call the practices and the beliefs that God has for us, if we'll believe in God, and have that faith, it is a divine assurance that God has given us the power to do it. He says here in verse number 3, according to His divine power hath given unto us all things. We believe that God has provided the power to live these things out. We couldn't possibly accomplish anything on our own, but we can trust God by faith. We can trust Him. The same faith that we got saved by is now empowered by His Son Jesus Christ. The Bible calls it from faith to faith. We have now been indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and now we don't have to muster up this faith, and we don't have to try to make our faith bigger. It is in us. It is through the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And now we can have the power. We have the power in us to live out this precious faith. We also see that the Bible shows us we can make a difference, but how do we exist and things don't go the way that we think they ought to go, or they're not happening the way that we think they ought to happen, or the people are going nutso and crazy, and how are we supposed to handle this? The Bible says He's given us His promises. Look at it in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I don't have to sit here and be anxious, and I don't have to sit here and worry about my family, and I don't have to sit here and worry about our church. I can trust by faith the very precious promises of God. This precious faith that I've been given, I can live out the faith, this set of practices. I can practice that by faith, that God has everything under control. He's given me the power to live it. But He's also given me promises to depend upon when things aren't going the way that I think they ought to go. A political scene is not what I believe it ought to be. I can trust the promises of God. My marriage isn't what it ought to be. I can trust the promises of God. My job isn't going as I thought it should go. I can trust the promises of God. The church isn't doing what I think they ought to do, but I can trust the precious promises of God. See, any situation that I'm ever in, by faith, through the person of the Holy Spirit in me, by the power of Jesus Christ, I can live out what He's asked me to live, and I can exist at any moment and all the precious promises of God that He's made to me. And then I believe, as the Bible says, how is this possible to live in a dark and defiled world? The Bible says in verse number 4 there, whereby are given unto succeeding precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We don't have to live like this world, because God has given us His divine nature. He has given us the power, the love, and a sound mind. He has given us the promises to live on, because He has made us partakers of the very Godhead. We are partakers of His divine nature. We are partakers of the Holy Spirit of God living in us, guiding us, teaching us all things, comforting us in the days of uncomfortableness. So we come to the message today where the Bible shows us in verse number 5, watch this, and beside this, yes, have this faith. We are obtainers of this precious faith, not only salvation, But we have been given the faith, the set of beliefs, this doctrine, this reproof, the corrections, the instructions in righteousness. We've been handed this heritage. We should earnestly contend for it. But in us is this faith to believe that God can do what God says He's going to do, that God is in control. I can have peace. I can have life. I can live the abundant life that God wants me to live. And He says this, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. How many have ever met somebody that you would say, that person is a person of great faith? You ever met somebody that, I mean, you see a mountain in front of you and somebody says, man, this is a great opportunity for God to move. And you're like, I'm scared to death, man. Man, I feel horrible. My health is bad. I think I'm going to die. Man, praise the Lord to see Jesus. Amen. You're like, how do you have that kind of faith? How do you, oh, man, we got a $2 million project in front of us. Wow, God's going to do something amazing. I'm sitting here having ulcers. Oh, man, the buses are rolling and we're reaching these young people. We're going to have vacation Bible school. I'm seeing dollar signs and the gasoline bill and we got to do repairs and maintenance. And oh, man, this is great. You know why? I believe it's because some people have greater faith. Not because they have some part of them that just builds this faith and they're just amazing at faith. I mean, they got something I didn't at salvation, and all of a sudden they just believe something bigger and something better because they have a bigger faith. I don't believe that. I believe they've added to their faith. I watch people go into Iraq and say, man, we need somebody to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the war zone of Iraq. And somebody goes, that's me. All right, I'll write the check. How much do I write it for? Iraq? Afghanistan? Pakistan? God bless you. How do you have that kind of faith? Well, sometimes we think that some people have bigger faith and I'm just kind of stuck with this little bit of faith and I've got this set of beliefs. I believe them and I believe God, but I don't have big as faith as Ryan Moffitt. I mean, he's out there with big faith and I don't have as much faith as Scott Palmer. I've got some faith and I'm trying to muster it up. And I don't think that's what God wants us to do. You have obtained like precious faith. We all have been given the same kind of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ to save us. You are not more saved than I am this morning. Amen? Amen? Every person that is saved is on their way to heaven, and you can't be less saved or more saved. You are saved. You were not given a set of doctrines and a set of beliefs and a set of practices and a different Bible than I was handed. We have not been given something in us where the Holy Spirit is bigger in me than He is in you. Or it's bigger in you than it is in me. The Bible calls it like precious faith. But it's how we treat that faith, I believe, is what helps us to go further, to believe bigger, to accomplish more, to make a bigger difference. And here's what I believe the secret is. I'll be honest with you. I'm learning something new as a pastor. God, I want more faith. God, I want more faith. God, we want to do something bigger for you. God, we want to go further in missions. God, we want our school to be bigger. And I crumble under worry. And I crumble under, my health has got to get better. My health has got to get, I can't do what God wants me to do with this kind of health. But they got big faith. I don't believe that. You and I have been given like precious faith. But despite that, despite your salvation, despite the set of beliefs that we have, that we're earnestly contending for, He says despite this belief system that we have that God is in control of the universe, He's in control of my life, and that's where the disconnect happens, that I don't believe He's in touch as much with me as with somebody else. He says despite all that faith, add to your faith. Oh. So there's people that have added something to their faith. So, Brother Dave, come here for a second. So here's the analogy. We go to I'll stay behind this so these guys don't spaz out about not getting things on the internet. They're like, where are the lapel? And I'm like, no. It's like, now it's like a rebellion in me, okay? Just stubbornness. I'm not wearing the lapel. I want one of those cool mouth ones. They won't buy me one. So I'm not wearing the lapel. So there. Actually, I just forget every week. It's not rebellion. It's just forgetfulness and ignorance. So me and Brother Dave, we go to the gym together. Right? And we said, we are getting in shape. And we're not doing this. This is just a story, okay? This is illustration only. Evangelistically speaking, if we went to the gym ever, one time in our life, ever, this is how it might play out. We go over to the weights. We say, man, we are getting in shape, man. I'm going to run the treadmill. I run for 10 seconds and go, whew. Okay, I'm good. He's over there running 2 or 3 miles. Who's going to be in better shape, me or him? Why? Because I exercised. Like, I did it for like 10 seconds, man. But he exercised because he added to his exercise. Then we go over to the weights and I pick up the 2-pound dumbbells. That's about what I got. That's about the weight of a good fork with some food on it. Yeah, there we go. All right, that tastes like that. That's about the weight of a good Big Mac with some extra sauce on it right there. I pick up the 2-pound dumbbells and I'm just working it. I'm working it. He picks up the $25 ones, nice. 25-pound dumbbells. And he's cranking them out. And we both do 20 of these each. Yeah, 20. 25 pounds, 2 pounds. Who's going to have more muscle? It's going to be him. Because he added to the weight. And so you understand that, Glenn. And so the Bible shows us we all are in the gym. We're all, if we're saved, we're in the same gym. We're in the same workout area. We're both have like precious faith. We both have the same desire to make a difference. You and I both have the same desire to see God do something great. But there's something that disconnects if we're not careful. We're on the treadmill for 10 seconds. We're at the dumbbells with 2-pounders. We go over to the pull down machine and we put the pin in the 20-pound and somebody else puts the pin in the 60-pound. We think, they are so strong. Well, you could be that strong, but you refuse to add to your faith. And so when we're growing as a family here, when we're growing as a church here, when we're trying to accomplish big things, and some of you are going, is the pastor crazy? He just said in the next 10 years, we're going to do a $2.5 million giving program. He is out of his mind. And then there's somebody 3 seats away from you that's going, oh yeah, yeah baby, $2.5 million, I'm all over that. How much can I give to... And you're going, are you out of your mind? Something's different. Either I'm out of the will of God and we shouldn't have introduced it, or we need to add to our faith if we're going to believe it. We're going to reach the world for Christ. I know churches say that all the time, and then we don't. Because we've obtained like precious faith, but some of us aren't adding to our faith. And so when it comes time to write that tithe check, and you say 10% of $500 is 50, I'm going to give a little bit of offering, $5, $50, and then I give $5 to offering and missions. Whew. Building fund. Man, these things. Pastor's got a lot of stuff to give to, man. And all of a sudden, your faith wilts. You say, you know what? I can't give to put missionaries there on the world, man. I got things I got to take care of. And how am I going to go on that vacation? And how am I going to do that? And all of a sudden, we start talking ourselves out of it. And it's not that we don't have faith. We've all got faith. It's because we have not added to our faith. So this morning I want to do one of them. And tonight I'm going to do the other 6 in the service tonight. And they're going to go quick. But I want to show you these things that we should add to our faith that make some of us believe that person has got such huge faith. No, they got the faith you got. But despite that faith, with all diligence... With haste. The Bible says this word diligence is with haste. It is a word that shows us that we've got to do it now, that we've got to do it with all diligence, with importance, with a priority to it. With all diligence, add to your faith. If you want to strengthen your faith, you need to add this first. Here it is. Here's the first thing. Virtue. Watch it. Verse number 5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Not faith, this is going to be with faith. No, add to your faith. Make your faith stronger. Make the foundation bigger. Make the foundation stronger of faith by adding this, virtue. Now, a lot of times the word virtue is used in the term of purity. That's a virtuous woman. And sometimes in the Bible it is used that way. But in this passage, in verse number 3, according to His divine power hath given us unto all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. That word virtue there in verse number 3 and the word virtue in verse number 5 is the same word. It is this word virtue that God places things in a divine order. Why would He pick virtue first? Well, the word virtue here is a word that simply means holy boldness and courage. It's amazing to me as I begin to study this list, adding to your faith. Well, I believe God can do this, and I believe in God's promises, and God's put within me His Holy Spirit, and we can accomplish these things, and the Holy Spirit through me can accomplish these. I believe that. But where's the doubt coming? And He says, so that doubt doesn't take over, doubt doesn't make you back down, doubt doesn't make you back off on believing what God can do, doubt doesn't make you not take the step forward that He wants you to take, here's what you add to your faith. Courage and boldness. Holy boldness. Add to your faith a holy boldness to speak courageously for Christ. You remember in Joshua chapter 1, He kept saying to Joshua, you're going to go and take over the land. You're going to go into the land. You are going into the land to take it over. 40 years ago, y'all made a mistake. You stayed out of the land. You didn't do what I told you to do. But you guys are crossing the Jordan and you're going over to that holy land. You're going over to the promised land and you are taking it over. Here's what you're going to need. Weapons. Here's what you're going to need. You're going to need teamwork. Here's what you're going to need. You're going to need a battle plan. No, He said, if you are going to take the first step into that river, it is adding to your faith that God, Joshua believed that God can take us into the promised land and believe that we can take over that. Yes, He does. But if you're going to actually take the step, if you're actually going to do what God said, if you're actually going to write the check, if you're actually going to fix your marriage, if you're actually going to go into counseling, if you're actually going to step into a ministry and do something for God, if you're actually going to pick up your Bible and read it, if you're actually going to tell somebody about Jesus, oh my, witnessing for God, if you're actually going to step out and do it, every one of us know that we need holy boldness. Everyone in here believes when you got saved that it was the way to heaven. Every one of us. There's nobody here that got saved and then thought, you know what? I don't really know if that was the way to heaven. But that's the way we act when we get around somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. What do they think of me? Instead of something taking over that faith that is in us and saying, I've got the truth. I've got the real thing. This is the real deal. Allah and God are not the same. God Almighty sent His Son Jesus Christ to this earth. I believe I have the truth. I'm going to say something to somebody about my faith, about my belief system, about a way to heaven, the way to heaven. I need virtue. It scares some of you to death if I said, hey, I want you to pray about teaching this Sunday school class. Some of you would pass out. We'd be resuscitating you on the floor. What's going to be the difference of you? Let me dial it back to the beginning. We have a lot of people attending our church that have not yet joined our church. And listen, I am not going to come to you, hey man, you're going to be a member of this church. You don't even have a choice. I might say, hey man, I'd like for you to be a member of the church if that's the way the Lord leads. Hey, we got to get you joined to our church. But you know what's going to take to add to your, you don't have to add to your faith. If you, obviously you believe this is the church that God has for you because you've been here every week. Obviously you believe that we're believing the right thing. Obviously you believe we have the right Bible. Obviously you believe that our faith and practice is right. We might not agree on 100% of things, but you believe enough of the faith that we have and you have faith. You not only have the set of beliefs we have, but you also believe that God is in control and God's in this place and the Holy Spirit's working and we're growing together. I guarantee you, you don't need more faith to join our church. You need holy boldness to step in and say, I'm going to be accountable here. I'm going to be involved here. I'm going to put my life and influence here under a pastor. I'm going to be involved in a Sunday school or a ministry. I'm going to work on a bus route. I'm going to teach a Sunday school. I'm going to be in the choir. I'm going to do something because I believe this is where God wants me and my family. And all of those doubts to say, man, well, Pastor so-and-so used and abused me and it didn't go so well last time I joined a church. And I promise you, it's not more faith that you need. You need to add to your faith courage, holy boldness. It's that thing, it's the link between what I believe and actually taking a step out there and doing something. Would you stand together before we prayer this morning?